Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which we referred to last time as the spoken word of God. He said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. Now, I want you to notice two words there. He says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And in verse 18, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, I want you to notice that because I'm going to pass a comment on it. In fact, I may as well pass a comment now. You see, before I was taught and I so believed that to pray in the Spirit means to pray in other tongues. Now, praying in other tongues, indeed, Paul said, when I pray with an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So I believe that praying in other tongues is prayer in the Spirit. Because you see, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is helping us with, well, I would say, when because of our infirmities, when we do not know how to pray as we ought. So it helps us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I believe that a lot of special kinds of prayers are in the Spirit. But what Paul was saying here is not that pray at all times in other tongues. That's not what he was saying. There is a kind of prayer that is out of the agreement with the Spirit of God. Do you understand my point? Jesus said something. He said, well, if you go and read his account when he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said, they that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. He wasn't saying that they will be worshiping God by speaking in other tongues. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Therefore, praying in the Spirit, it's in agreement with what Jesus was saying also, that there is a way where you do something and it is said to be in the Spirit. I want us to get that very clear. So when he was saying here that pray at all times in the Spirit, it does not mean pray at all times in other tongues. I am not at all trying to say praying in other tongues is not important. Like Paul will say, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. And I'm not saying that now. But then I'm saying that when Paul said that, when he was trying to put some order, some people felt that Paul was trying to tell us that speaking in other tongues is not correct. But he said, no, I thank my God that I do this thing more than, in fact, those of you think that I'm against it. It's just that I need to put some order in place. In the same manner, I am saying this afternoon, or is this evening? Evening. Okay, it's just past 5 o'clock, whichever. Anyway, I'm saying at this time, okay, that is not what Paul is saying here. When he said that, pray in the Spirit, because if you see, there is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and it's spoken in intelligent language. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, what I understand is this. If a woman learns how to pray properly in agreement with the word of God, what he is doing is that he's praying in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, it's when you are able to look into the spiritual realm and say things that are in agreement with God's purpose and with God's plan, then you say that person is praying in the Spirit. Now, we're not going to talk in details about that now, but I just want us to get it clear because, you see, sometimes, you know, someone was asking me in church a few days ago about a particular practice. He said, where did this start from? He brought out his Bible that I should show him where it is in the Scriptures, something like that. And I told him that, well, that the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. That is, men are inherently like sheep. Now, sheep is not a good thing, it's not a bad thing, it's just a character of, it's just a feature, yes. Sheepishness, you even know what I'm saying. It's just like human beings. It's just good to make sure that you are sheepishly following the good thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Jesus called his people what? His sheep. My sheep knows my voice. That's what he says. So it's good to be sheep, but just ensure that you are being sheeply in a good place. What I'm trying to say is that human beings tend to follow what some people are doing. And then people perpetuate an act, not even knowing where it started from. And some of those people will defend it with all their heart, with all their life, with their life, because this is the way it is done. They don't even know why it's been done like that. I'm just saying this, that in the body of Christ also, because of certain doctrines that were taught at a time, which I am not saying is inaccurate. Let me say it again. But you have to, I was listening to a man of God during the week, and he says something that he knows that a lot of the things he used to believe then are not wrong. It's just that they are incomplete. Do you understand my point? That is, there is always extra knowledge. You know, today I was talking with my wife, and I was just trying to tell her something that, you see, in the body of Christ, I know I'm digressing a bit, but it's okay. I'll get back to where I started from. That we tend to get carried away all the time. And Ken Hagin said this long ago, that it appears like the major problem with people is to stay balanced. You know, like the example I want to give now is that, you see, those days when I was a very young Christian, I remember when I was in secondary school, both young as a Christian and young as a human being, I was very young then. The people who taught us the Bible in school said that to wear lace was a sin, and it was against the will of God because it had holes in it. And I remember then, I had these two lace materials that my parents made for me. I did not know what to do with it. I was in boarding house, and it was not with me in school. I felt that when I go home, what shall I do with this lace? Now, I don't know what I ended up doing. Of course, I was a small boy. If I carry the lace, when my mother catch, if she caught me, there was nothing I could do with the lace. It was not my own. It was my parents' own. They just happened to have given it to me. You understand my point? But you see, as I grew up and I got to campus, they began to say, righteousness is not outward. And that, again, that is true. And then people felt that how you dress really doesn't matter. And I was lamenting with my wife this morning. I said, I have to talk to my pastor. He has to start speaking that women should please stop dressing like harlots when they come to church. Now, it doesn't move me. I'm not excited by them. You understand my point? You know, but it grieves my heart because we have forgotten that, you see, certain things are in the world because of corruption, not because they are normal. Do you understand my point? And then we have come to imbibe. Just walk on the road. Just walk on the road. Every woman walking thinks that she must show you the perfect shape of her buttocks. I don't know why. It wasn't always like this. As a young man, it wasn't like that when I was growing up. But suddenly there's a fad in town. That's the way it's going. Then Christians carry it and do exactly the same thing. I am not saying righteousness is in the length of your skirts. I am not saying righteousness is in how loose or how tight your clothes are. But I am saying that there's what the Bible calls the attire of a harlot. That is, when you see a harlot, you identify her by what she's wearing. Do you get my point? And it is not righteous to accept that same culture and say it does not matter. I am not saying that is righteousness, but I'm saying that some things are just not appropriate. Don't let me get carried away. I'll talk about that at another time, all right? Let me caution myself and come back home. Now, I'm trying to say that what happens is that... Kechi, you're welcome. God bless you. All right, I'm trying to say that what happens is that Christians forget to maintain a balance. Yes, you do not have to look like you are mourning all the time to show that you are godly. I agree with that. Absolutely. In fact, I think it is ungodly not to wear jewelry. That is my personal opinion. And I can prove it to you from the scriptures. God made gold. The only function gold has, all right, that I know is that of beautification. The only time people use gold now is because gold is a very, I know some science, all right, gold is a very good conductor of electricity. So when you have to make very small conductors, the best material to use is gold. But it's very expensive, of course. So you use it in very small quantities. That is how they join the processor in a computer to the circuit of the rest of the computer. Because you want something that can conduct very well. So you use very tiny amounts of gold. What I'm trying to say is that God filled the earth with gold. What for? Go and see when he was describing the temple. Now, I'm trying to say, you know, I was making a joke. Somebody in church, one pastor beside me in church on last Sunday, a sister got up, you know, walked in front of us. I whispered to him, I said, this lady always looks like the temple of Solomon. The guy had a very good laugh. Don't mind me, I say things like that sometimes. Now, I am saying that, anyway, I'm just using that one to say that I know that righteousness is not in the outward, all right? But outward things always agree eventually with what is inside. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So what we need as Christians is to be able to maintain a balance. I was talking to myself during the week again while meditating along this line. In fact, today, earlier on today, I said, you see, before you condemn a practice, please, I beg of you in the name of the Lord, always check the origin and check what the person who started it had in mind. Because sometimes these things come with the sincerity of heart, and a man is walking with God, except that all we like sheep follow him without thinking. And what he meant as a matter of improving walk with God becomes a matter of religion. And men begin to condemn or to judge people based on how much they practice certain things. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? All right. So, you know, I was thinking to myself that if you see the things that go on in deeper life, all right? Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad, all right? I'm just wondering, you know, there's a way people in deeper life dress. If you don't dress like that, you are, sorry for the sisters, they always are the receiving end. Whether you are in House on the Rock or in deeper life, a suit is a suit for guys. Suit na suit, you know? They will not criticize you for wearing a Giorgio Armani suit. Suit is suit. Uh-huh. But it's ladies that have to be fighting over whether something is long or short and all that. But I'm saying that the head of deeper life must have had his reason while he put some things in place in that congregation. I may not agree with all the practices, but it is good to listen to his reason. And you will be surprised that you will be blessed by it. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? That is why I have made up my mind in this life, no matter what people say about your practices, I want to hear where you started from and why. Sometimes some good things degenerate. And what we find and we criticize are the degenerate forms of those things. Sometimes it is good to look back at the beginning and find out where they started from. And we'll find out eventually we'll build the better for it. God will be able to reach out to us. Because I know in this life, everybody has a message. You know, there was a time I traveled and I saw a man's book on display. I had heard the man's name, quite a big book, so I stretched out to buy it. He's not a very popular preacher, at least amongst my clique of friends. So the guy who I went to preach for then, the pastor of the church, he said, why are you so interested in this man's book? But apparently he doesn't find, although it was his church and it was their book stand. But he was just curious, why did I pick the guy's book? I told him, look, everybody, especially a man that has a voice in the body of Christ, has a message. I said, I have not yet contacted my portion of this guy's ministry. So I will buy the book just to receive my portion. Because there is something we have that nobody else will have. You understand? In a place like Nigeria, don't be surprised that there is something unique about his ministry. That if you don't reach out to him and collect it, you will not find it elsewhere. And your life will never reach the peak that God wants it to reach. In the same manner, I am not a fan of deeper life, but I have made up my mind. I shall take time out, go and seek out about 20 or 40 tapes of W.F. Kumuyi. Sit down and eat all of them from beginning to end. Even endure when he's saying things I don't agree with. At the end of the day, I will receive my portion of his spirit. You see, there is what the Bible calls the spirits of men. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. As I am speaking to you every weekend here, there is something that God has dropped in me as a ministry that you are contacting. You may not be able to describe it in words. Do you get my point? I remember those days I used to say, if I'm in a vehicle and somebody talks, I will tell you are from Winner's Chapel. That there is something about Bishop Oyedepo that everybody that runs around him contacts it. There is this aggressive boldness that they eat up. When a Winner's person, forget his height or the stature of his person, once he speaks, you know this guy is from Winner's Chapel. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? If you go to different places, that's the way it is. It's just that, you know, I have found out that the major problem we have in the body of Christ is this one of segregating each other. Look, that is why I announce all the time, this is not a church, because I know that God's perfect plan is that there is a ministry each person has, and every person in the body of Christ has a right to tap their portion. It is wrong for me to build a wall around the one that God has given to me and say, if you are not part of us, you are against us. I have read ministry constitution before, and I said these people don't understand anything about ministry. They write things as clear as if you are a part of this ministry, you cannot be part of another one. I said, why? Why? Are you Jesus Christ? Are you dying for another set of people? It is not right to make such statements. People have a right to come. Maybe after some time, you've listened to me again and again and again for maybe about 50 different sessions. At a point in time, you feel I'm not getting anything from this guy any further. It does not mean that I'm backsliding. It does not mean that I don't have anything new to say. It is possible that God said, look, I'm building you up for something, and you have heard enough from this fellow for now. I want you to leave here and go and listen to this other guy, because there is something I have placed in that guy that this guy does not have. And if you sit here all the days of your life, you will find that your life will not be balanced. Let me tell you what, if you come to my library, you find all kinds of people. There are yuppie preachers there. There are old-time, conservative, you know, quiet, you know, preachers that can't even speak loud there. I listen to everybody. As long as I am sure that you are a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. So it's important that as Christians we learn to balance. I know where I started from, okay? I just felt that it's good to just emphasize that to children of God. Balance, Ed Cole says, is a key to life. You have to know balance. So, you see, let me now come back to what I was saying. I was talking about praying in the Spirit. So, I'm saying that I made that statement so that we will understand that though it was said at the time that praying in the Spirit means praying in other tongues, it is not exactly accurate, but it is not wrong. You understand my point? It is just incomplete. That's the point I'm trying to make. You can pray in the Spirit and not speak a word in other tongues. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Okay, so let's just get back to what I was saying. So we're reading from Ephesians chapter 6 and saying that part of what, or let me say, the application of the full armor of God, Paul added to it, praying at all times, he said, with all prayer and petition in the Spirit. Now, it is important we understand that in the Spirit is in agreement with what he said. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. You understand my point? It does not mean that I'm only wielding that sword if I'm speaking in other tongues. It is the word of God, and I can say it in the language that I understand. Do you follow what I'm trying to say there? Okay, now, that's just the first scripture I wanted us to read before we go on to what we have to say today. Another scripture I would like to read, maybe, let's just read Isaiah chapter 62. I'll read verses 6 and 7. It said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. He said, you who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Listen to that. He said, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. What is their job? They will observe the things that are happening. And if the things that they are seeing are not in agreement with God's plan for Jerusalem, they will remind the Lord, and they would not take any rest until they have seen that God has established Jerusalem as a praise in the earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, they are watchmen. They are observing things. Let me tell you something about prayer. I'm not claiming to know everything about it, but I know that a lot of the things that are practiced in the body of Christ, at least around that I have seen, are extremely inaccurate. Let me explain. I have been to churches before, and then, in fact, there are times people say, okay, pray this prayer point, and I look at the prayer, I feel like calling the guy down from the pulpit. That does that thing make any meaning to you? You that are speaking. No, honestly. He said, I want you to pray right now that as this meeting is going on, that we will never be the same. I said, come, my friend. What is the problem with what you are right now? And can you identify the problem and where you want to get to? Just stop. That's what the Bible calls empty babblings. You understand? You're just talking and your talk has no meaning. I am usually very reluctant to attend a lot of prayer meetings. Not because I do not want to pray with the people, but you see, sometimes you get it, and of course, you know what people hide behind? They start speaking in what they call tongues. It just because, you know, really, what the guy who told you to pray is saying makes no meaning to him or to you. And both of you agree to deceive yourselves and stay there and be claiming you are talking it. No, honestly, I'm one person. Look, I was in one church once, And the man said, plead the blood of Jesus. I said, in my mind, over what? That the word you will hear today, that no devil will take it away from you. I said, let me see the devil that will come and take it away. So I was looking at the man. So the lady beside me said, when we finished, she called me. That she noticed that when we were bringing prayer points, everybody was firing and I was not responding. I felt like telling her, to what? What that guy was saying, does it make meaning to you? I said, the Bible said that the ones that the birds of the air took away were those who heard and did not understand. How do you get understanding? He said, give attention that you may gain understanding. I felt like telling the woman, I have left my job. I do not have a car. Let me tell you how inconvenient it is for me to get to this place. I take 3 buses to get here. I leave my house early in the morning, 6, I'm out of the house. I will not get back till 10 p.m. You think I came here to play? Let me see the devil that is big enough to take the word from me. So when the man was saying, I said, over what? Read the whole of the scripture. All this one shout, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Read the whole of the scripture. Where did you ever see anybody praying and he's shouting the blood of Jesus? I'm not saying it is evil. I just don't do it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You want to tell me? Yes. The Bible said there is what the blood speaks that is better than the one that the blood of Abel is speaking. The blood speaks something. It is when you speak in agreement with the blood that you're overcoming by the blood. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is why everybody in town shouts, Holy Ghost, fire. You and I know the Holy Ghost is not even hearing the fire. Nor is he responding. It is not the words. I have a teaching, what I call the weight of words. When you utter something, there should be a weight behind it that is backing the words that you are speaking. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are not of the flesh. The flesh profits nothing, but they are spirit and they are life. That is, there is a spiritually tangible substance that they carry. And when they get to the place where they are received to the person. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I'm saying something here that we are reading that the Bible said that there are watchmen who watch for specific things. And when it is not in agreement with what God is saying he will do, then they will remind the Lord of what he has planned to do. Do you follow my point? Watchmen, that is why God used the word watchmen. That is, we are watching. Like Elijah told his servant, go to that end and watch for me. I will stay here and pray. And he bent down, put his head down, and began to pray. He asked the boy, do you see anything? The guy said, nothing. He said, good. It is not yet in agreement with what God will do, because I cursed this land with famine because they were not serving the true God. But today, we have eradicated the service of false God from the land. Therefore, rain should return. Are you getting my point? So he began to tell the guy, watch. Elijah kept praying. Are you seeing anything? He said, yes, I see something like a cloud, just very small actually. Looks like the size of a man's fist. He said, that is okay. That is all I need to know. I know things are about to happen. So he told the king, come on, hurry up. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. The prayer stopped. Are you getting my point? If it's our prayer of faith, you know what we say? The guy prayed more than once. It is in unbelief. You know, that's what we preach. Again, I'm not saying totally wrong. I'm just saying it's incomplete. Because that same Elijah was the example of a righteous man who prayed a prayer of faith. Thank you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So I'm explaining that the Bible said, I have set watchmen on your walls. The word is watchmen. They are looking out for something. And see, I will talk something about prayer today. All right? And I'm just going to explain this, some of the scriptures that we are reading. Again, open to Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm not tired of preaching. I just want to read some scriptures and then we will start talking from verse 37. It said, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Now, I want you to notice something there. Why didn't he just do it? I don't know. But he said, this is what I want to do. Let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer means that, how do I say this now? Let me go back a few steps and then I'll come to what the definition I want to say.
The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to what? The sons of men. I want you to understand, like I've explained in the past, nobody has authority on this earth but the people that live therein. Are you hearing me? You see, sometimes we read one scripture and we misunderstand the whole picture because we only touch one side of the multi-faces, the many faces of the, let me say, of the complex structure of life. You know, God says something. Now let me say one of the example mistakes we make. We said that when Adam sinned, I still heard it in the message I was listening to a few days ago, that he handed over the dominion over the earth to the devil. And I'd say, no, he didn't. And I have my reasons. But I've thought about that in the past. I know that Adam, for his own life, maybe he handed it over to the devil. But every person that came into life had the choice to sin or not to sin. And the Bible tells in Romans chapter 5, it said, sin entered the world through one man, the earth, and then death came as a result of that sin. It said, but death passed to all men because all men sinned. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That it is not automatic. What happens is that everybody has to connect with the cause of Adam. You know, I've explained to us about the law of the pioneer. It is just that once one person steps into something, it becomes easy for everybody that is coming after him. Now, I'm trying to say something. Don't let me digress too much into that. Let me get back to my point. That on this earth, the authority still belongs to a man. That is why God does not discuss with the devil when he wants to do things. Rather, he discusses with men. He said, I looked for a man I did not find. Do you understand what I'm going to say? He said, I saw that there was no man. Therefore, my own hand brought salvation unto me. That is, every time God is looking, what is he looking for? Men. Are you getting my point? And he said, if you read Amos chapter 3, he's explained that the Lord God cannot do anything except he first discusses with his servants, the prophets. Let me explain to you what that means. That means that when God wants to come into the earth, one thing he looks for is somebody through whom he will come. He doesn't just appear. The reason being that he gave dominion over the earth to men and it still remains with man. I want you to understand that it does not belong to any devil. Because if he did, God wouldn't be discussing with men. He will first discuss with the devil that, can I come into the earth? And he doesn't do that. I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make. I hope you are following that point. All right? We can't discuss everything in details because that's not the main thrust of our thing. I just want to explain something to us. Therefore, before God does anything on the earth, the first thing he does is to talk to somebody. And having talked to somebody, the person will agree and give God his authority on the earth. And then God will come through that person and begin to manifest. Like I said before, all God is looking for, therefore, is for somebody to cooperate with him. That is all. He is not looking for what? Anything more. Just somebody who will cooperate with him. When he was going to choose David as a replacement for Saul, all he said is that I have found a man after my own heart who will do all my desires. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That for God to move on the earth, he needs a man. Now, another thing I want you to bear in mind is that you exercise your authority through words and then through your actions, two ways. One, through the things you do or refuse to do, and through the things that you say. So what God does is this. When he wanted to do judgment in Israel, again he went and spoke to a man called Ezekiel. Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah. Yeah. Jeremiah said, I am too young for this thing that you are sending me to do. And God said, age is not relevant. What is relevant is that you say just the things I want you to say. I hope you are following my point. That is, what I want, what I need are the words that you will speak. So whenever I say something, just go out there and repeat exactly what I have said. And if you do that, you will see my power manifested. Are you following me? I'm trying to say something. That for God to do something on the earth, therefore, there are two things. First, he wills to do something. And two, somebody agrees with him to do that thing. So if somebody on earth decides he's going to do what he wants to do, that is, a man just says, okay, right now, I have decided that I don't like the situation of Enugu. I want it to be situated at the bottom of the valley. And he begins to pray. His prayer would not be of any effect because most likely God didn't propose it first. And he's always the leader you follow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you getting my point? That is why John said it like this in chapter 5. He said, that's 1 John. He said, this is the confidence we have towards him, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? Therefore, now let's relate it back to the issue of the what's their name now? Watchmen. He's saying, therefore, that the watchmen look out and watch for what God wants to do. And if what they are seeing on the earth is not in agreement with it, then they begin to declare to God what he said that he would do. Let's come back to the issue of this man. What's his name? Daniel. That would be a very good example. Remember what Daniel prayed. He said, I, Daniel, discovered from the books, when he studied the books, if you read Daniel chapter 9, verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I was talking about a king, Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. He said, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And he began to pray. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? That is, Daniel discovered what the Lord wanted to do and then began to give his voice in agreement to that thing that God wants to do. And that's why John said, when we pray in accordance with his will, he hears us. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say about prayer. So, now let me come back to the main thrust of what we have been saying all this while. We're talking about the inheritance. Paul said, with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, that is, there is something, first thing therefore, if you have to look like Daniel, is to discover from the written records of the word of God what God wants to do in your life. And by the direct communication, when that applies to you, that is the word of God, in agreement with that, you begin to declare. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you do not just speak out of desire. You know, I said something, if you remember, we were speaking about faith. That hope is not a wish. And that the mistake we made in the word of faith movement, you know what they call movement, all right? Is that we say that hope is uncertain. And we even write things like the failure of the hoper. I said that is not in agreement with the scriptures. Because hope, the Bible says, does not make ashamed. In him, the Bible says, the Gentiles will hope. Do you understand what I'm saying? The difference is that the Englishman, when he says hope, he's saying that I wish, I would have loved it to be. Peradventure it will become, I will be pleased with that outcome. Do you get my point? But no, in the scriptures, when it says hope, it means I have an expectation that is based on an evidence. So you go to Abraham. I have observed that you have begun to age. The man said, yeah. And have observed that your wife passed menopause something like 25 years ago. Say, I observed that also. Yet, you say, you will be the father of many nations. How do you know? The man says, I have an expectation. I had one before, just like you, when I was as blind as you were. I saw only what you were seeing now. And I told God, what do I get since I'm going childless? Then God said, and he gave me a word, which was another evidence. And based upon the word of God that has come to me, I have another evidence. And God said, you will not die childless, but indeed, Sarah, your wife, will bear you a child. He specified, it's even Sarah. So how do you know, therefore, that you'll be a father of many nations? Say, because God said so. So I have an expectation based upon an evidence. So it was qualified by Paul like this. Faith is the assurance of the expectation that I have. That is, I saw the word of God promising me something. Therefore, I am sure that that thing will come to pass. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, let me explain something again to us. God, like we said, gives to you. And then he said, you will get up and possess what he has given. Listen, when he was telling the children of Israel to go in and possess, he warned them about land they could not possess. Do you get my point? I keep on mixing the name of the... Is it the land of the Edomites, the descendants of Esau? He told them, I think it's the Edomites. He said, when you get to their land, buy water. Don't incite them to anger. He warned them. When you, before you pass, beg them. He said, because I will not as much as give you the place upon which you are standing in their land. I have given that one to them as an inheritance. That is, what God has not given you, you cannot possess. But the one he has given you, you will first get a description for the one that he has given you, and then you get up to go and possess it. I hope you follow what I'm trying to say. So what is important, therefore, is that we get to know the one he has given, and then we lend our voice in agreement to it in prayer. Every time we speak, as a watchman, I have observed that in my life. I still fall sick at the beginning of the rainy season. I said, that is not in agreement with the word of God. So, if rainy season is going to approach again, I stand up and declare, in the name of Jesus, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. For me to fall sick at the beginning of any season is not in agreement with the word of God. Therefore, I speak to my body, be well in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up that word back to you. And I ask that your power of divine health will rest upon this system. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? Because I made a discovery that what I am seeing is not in agreement with what God wants to do. But the problem we have, I think we need to read something. Open with me your Bibles to, I think, Matthew chapter 14. It should be 14, yes. It's a portion of the scriptures that we have read again and again. And in fact, every child that studies Bible knowledge, or this, Christian religious knowledge, they call it, knows this story. It's the story of Jesus on the waters. He had multiplied food for 5,000 men with additional women and children. And he sent his disciples away to go to the other side. And after dispersing the multitude by himself, he went to the mountain to pray alone. Now verse 24. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him, and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. It's important you note that word. That anytime Jesus gets into a boat, the wind will stop. Are you getting my point? The wind was harassing them because he saw that, aha, master is not around. All of you are in trouble today. he saw that the master is not around. In fact, the last time he tried to harass them, you know, the wind first ensured that the master was asleep. So, if the master was awake, the wind wouldn't have tried it. The master was asleep. That's why the wind decided to harass them. So today, the wind saw that the master was not in the boat. He said, "Good, I've caught all of you." So, in fact, I have a feeling that it was the wind that drove them to that point. They didn't want to go so far away before. And then they, of course, began to harass their life up and down. And the moment the master stepped back into the boat, you know, he didn't rebuke the wind this time around. What happened was the wind vanished by itself. Which means that in life, if we are being rocked to and fro and being tossed here and there by the circumstances of life, it is likely that Jesus is not riding in that boat. Do you get my point? There is a man, I read his story. I was in a meeting where he preached. He's a pastor now in Asaba. He said, when he was going to take a job in a newspaper, he told God that he knew he was going to ministry. So he told God he would stay there for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, he would leave. 2 years came. He said, why not? Let's just tarry here a while. 2 years and 1 month, he was still tarrying a while. 2 years and 2 months, he was still there. 3, 4, 5, 6 months. God said, it is enough. Small wind began to blow. Miriam Babangida came to Benin. Somebody took a photograph of Miriam Babangida and published it in the newspaper that he was the editor. And the board sat down and said, that photograph is not fine. Can you believe that? And they sacked him. It was embarrassing to the nation. You sacked an editor because he published what you claim is a bad photograph of the first lady. So the Nigerian Union of Journalists decided that this must be a joke. So they rushed to court. He went to court. Everybody went to court. Miriam Babangida made an open statement that, please, oh, I have no hand in the sacking of this man, just like Pilate. You know the interesting thing? The man stayed sacked. Listen, if God is not with you, Jioke Ajayi, coupled with Ganifa Oyemi, supported behind by Rotimi Williams, cannot get you a court ruling. If God is not with you, Chief of Army Staff, Inspector General of Police, all of them cannot enforce a court order if God is not with you. The man, after some time, he called himself to order and said, wait. What is the cause of all this boat that has been rocked to and fro? It's because Jesus is not in it. He walked out himself. Went and took a job in Winners Chapel as director of the publishing of the Bible school. From there, he now moved and came and founded the ministry that's doing very well in Asaba now. What I'm saying is that when you find a boat that's been rocked to and fro, you rebuke and cast out devils. And any devil that doesn't go out easily, just check whether Jesus is in that boat. Because the devil will look around and say, can't you see there's only me and you? Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Anytime Jesus steps into a boat, what happens? The wind will what? Cease. And I think it's important, therefore, that we ensure that whichever boat we are riding in, Jesus is in it. Now, but that is not our lesson for today. That was just by the way. All right? Our lesson is in the issue of Peter. Jesus spoke a word to Peter. The word was what? Come. And the Bible said that Peter began to walk on water as long as he was focusing on the thing that Jesus said. Then at a point in time, he took his eyes away and began to behold the wind. And while beholding the wind, what happened is that he began to fear. And fearing, he began to sink. Now, I want us to understand this. That every time God gives you a word, gives you a promise, there will always be reasons. You know, last time I explained this extensively. There will always be a reason why that word shouldn't come to pass. And usually the voice of that reason is much louder than the voice of God. Do you get my point? The reason being that it will be speaking from every direction. When God says, go like this, let's assume that, okay, most of us know mathematics. There will be 300, in every circle, how many degrees do you have? 360. Now, God says, go like this. He's facing one direction. So you're on one line. Let's assume that one line is 1 degree. It means, therefore, that every other thing speaking is against what God is saying. And there will be 359 of them speaking. So anywhere you turn to, you hear a voice that is not the voice of God. And the moment you take your eye away, what you are seeing suddenly becomes very loud. When you return it back to where God is speaking, the voice of God will become loud to you. I hope you get my point. It is a decision you need to make that I want to follow God. You see, I want us to get this clear all the time. That if you will speak positively about your life, If you will speak positively about what God is going to do in your circumstance, on your environment, on your nation, because of you, it will not be because things are looking up. Are you getting my point? Remember last time we said, the words were framed how? By the word of God. That what you will see will be a consequence of the state of your heart and the thing that is coming out of it as a word. Do you follow me? You will not succeed because you study a particular course in the university and you got a good degree from it. No. You can come with first class or half class. It makes no difference. You know, I told a story once. One day when psychiatry ward in university, when I was doing my psychiatry posting, was on admission in the hospital, psychiatry ward. He had the first class, either in engineering or mathematics. He did a master's. I was already going to get the top grade also. Before the head went, you know, before the head bifurcated, I don't know what happened to him.